This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
I am so excited to be here with you today. Listen, guys, it's just going to be you and I today. How about that? Let me give you the call-in number. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. And I'm going to start off by reading the newspaper. Let's read the newspaper together. You know, I think this is a dying art, reading the newspaper, but I love it. I love getting the newspaper. I love looking and kind of perusing. I love kind of playing some of the games in it. If you guys read, if there's anyone who's listening who actually read a newspaper and not just scroll through social media, call me at 855-839-1210 and let's commiserate together. But you know, there's so much that is going on, especially as we prepare to go into the month of May. This is kind of like a do or die month for the Trump administration. I've said it many, many times that Donald Trump is juggling knives while walking on a tightrope. So much can go wrong. But if we get it right, so much can go right for us, because let me tell you, the other side of the political spectrum, these people are unrepentant. They're unrepentant. They're doubling down on stupidity. They're doubling down on foolishness. It makes absolutely no sense. You cannot convince me otherwise. It's just dumb, 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 and then more dumb, right? But that is the other side of the political spectrum. But guess what? We're going to talk about it a little bit later on. They may be gaining some traction among the people. We're going to kind of talk about that and break it down, because let me tell you, you just cannot. I mean, yes, I believe we have the more superior ideas, and but it's all about execution. And this month, the month of May that we're getting ready to walk into, it's going to be very, very critical, because I believe the Trump administration need to get some big wins on the board. We need to dominate the narrative. And so, anyway, one of those wins is going to come with whatever happens in the month of May with the doggone tariffs as it relates to China. Now, since entering the World Trade Organization back in 2001, I'll never forget it. I was aware of these things, you know, like you don't even know what your calling is but it's just something that you're just naturally gravitate. That you naturally gravitate towards. And I was a college student back in 2001. And I remember watching President Clinton at the time do this very robust speech about China coming into the World Trade Organization and how it was our responsibility as Americans to uplift this third world country, and how we were going to spread democracy across the globe. Yeah, none of that happened. Yeah, we did lift them out of economic ruin back, you know, everybody on a rice paddy. Back in the country, we did make China the manufacturing floor of the nation. We did make this communist country our rival and equal in many regards. Yeah, we did that as Americans, and we did not import democracy over to them. We did not import free enterprise over to them. They have only exported a lot of craziness. And, you know, and the Chinese community, their economy, let me put it that way, that China's economy has benefited from stealing intellectual property, highly subsidizing their industries, protectionism, providing no access to the court system. For example, if you're if a Chinese company is here in America doing business and one of our American companies steal their property, they have a pathway to go to American courts and find some kind of remedy. That is not guaranteed in China. In fact, China can just flip the switch off on your industry altogether, and there are no remedies. All the money, the billions you may have invested there is just no remedy. So the Chinese economy has greatly benefited from these tactics. And so my question is, as I see Donald Trump trying to bring them, strong arm them, to the negotiating table, is what are the odds that China will stop doing what they've been doing? What are the odds? I mean, can they even stop? So what are the odds of them stopping? Can they stop? Will their economy still grow if they don't employ these tactics? So right now, there is still, there's a 90-day pause on almost on everyone else except for China. The tariffs right now on China remains at 145% on many things. Some things have been excluded. You guys have, I'm sure everyone has talked about that ad nauseum. But overall, there is still a very healthy tariff war that we are involved in going both ways. And Donald Trump has been saying that he has spoken with the Communist Party, CCP, but the Communist Party is saying, nope, no such conversations have taken place. So there's a tremendous amount of confusion. Now, I'm turning to my newspaper here because I got it. Let me tell you guys, I read Epoch Times. So I'm looking at Epoch Times. The headline on the front of the page was China using familiar tactics to prolong trade war. Secretary Scott Bennett was just reported as saying to a room full of investors that these tariffs are unsustainable. So kind of played his hand to China that Donald Trump will not be doing this forever. So we really need to rush. China recognizes that they need us more than we need them, but they are prolonging the talks, dragging their feet to the negotiation table. Scott Bennett kind of played our hand in that, we really need this to hurry up on both sides. So we all know that this is unsustainable on both sides of the aisle. However, China is probably in a more precarious situation than we are, and they need a little bit more than we do. But we are living in a symbiotic relationship with the world. China sneezes, we catch the flu. That's how this works right now. And so we are in this symbiotic relationship around the world, and it was at our making in America. And so now Donald Trump recognizes that some things have to change. I know there is pain and there is going to remain some pain. I think we as Americans have become addicted to cheap stuff. And I don't believe all of the increase we are seeing is going to magically go away somehow. I think even if Donald Trump gets everything he wants as it relates to these tariffs, making it more reciprocal, opening up, getting rid of some of these non-tariff barriers and the likes, I think there is still going to remain some level. Some of this increase that we're seeing is going to stick. I think that's the new reality that we're about to walk into, because, quite honestly, it's unsustainable if we do nothing. Where we are right now is completely unsustainable. So the only thing we can do, which Americans have become very comfortable with doing, is sticking our head in the sand and kicking the can down the road for the next people, for the next generation to deal with it. But I'm telling you, we're at the end of the kicking of the can. The can can't go any farther with America staying dominant. And that's what I want to kind of walk us through a little bit of this. But I thought it was interesting when I was reading the newspaper, China using familiar tactics to prolong trade war. So what are some of those familiar tactics? I've already mentioned some of them. Lower tariffs. We provide them with lower tariffs, whereas they gouge us and protect their industries. You have no access to courts. You have currency manipulation. You have subsidies. They give large subsidies to industries, giving them access to cheap energy, cheap materials, whatever they need, cheap labor, all of that. But I thought it was interesting, and as I was reading, I'm like screaming at the newspaper as I'm reading. But one of them, for example, it reads, Chinese regime is using protectionist and trade distorting policies aimed at weakening foreign companies operating in China. For example, it forces companies to relocate their production, their research and development, and their data storage to the country. So if you want to do business in China, you got to relocate all of your substantive infrastructure. It also forces foreign companies to partner with domestic firms, we knew this, and hand over their technology and know-how. And what has happened in the past is that the first 10 years, you may have this kind of, you know, everybody walking side by side, you know, in bliss. But after you give them China, the Chinese firms, the domestic firms, after you hand over your technology and know-how, you begin to see knockoffs. That has happened time and time and time again. This is how they have become a significant rival country. And we did it. So in order to do business there, you have to move over your infrastructure. You have to hand over your technology secrets. You got to give them the secret ingredients to Coca-Cola. You got to give them your know-how. Global brands are being forced to give away their most important and sensitive technologies just to have access to Chinese market. And as I'm reading this, I'm just screaming, why? Why would a company do this? Why would they cut off their nose despite their face? Now, maybe at the beginning, because, you know, we're ignorant to think the world wants to be just like us. But over the years, over the past 20 plus years, you know what China does, and yet we do it because all we're thinking about in this country, you know, it's not about freedoms. It's not about the Constitution. It's all about the money. It's all about the money, honey. It's all about, you're supposed to go right to the thing. Money, 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 money. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. In America, that's what we've come down to. And we see it so pervasive throughout everything, right? We see, I don't know if you guys watch the whistleblower who used to be in the executive suite at Facebook, now Meta, walking side by side with Zuckerberg. And she became a whistleblower. She just went before a senatorial hearing. And you guys should really go out, pull that up on YouTube and listen to it. This guy, now I've said this here on this station at my show, this man, you know, he grew his hair out curly, put on a gold chain, a black t-shirt. The only thing he was missing was a gold tooth. And he started making all of the conservative, quote unquote, podcast, like, yeah, I'm so cool and I'm all about free speech and I love America and all is great. I'm a patriot. No, this man is a chameleon. You know, you just, I mean, he's a private dancer. He dances for money. He'll do whatever you want him to do. He's a chameleon. And she was describing him learning Mandarin just to go and get this deal. And the things in DeepSeek, have y'all heard of that? How that China, the Communist Party of China, backed DeepSeek technology has now overtaken our race in the AI. Well, that is built on the platform of Meta, and he gave it to them in hopes of doing what? Get it up again. Money, money, money. As I go out to this break, guys, listen, give me a call at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. But this is what it's become about, America, right? It's not about free enterprise, not about capitalism, with some rules and guardrails, not about the Constitution. It's all about money, money, money. It's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins, baby. And that's become a very prevalent, pervasive, dominant mentality in our country. And God knows I want the money, more money. Yes, thank you. But at what cost? And so when I was reading this article about these companies complaining about, oh, China is taking all of our tech, you did it. It was a choice. Just like Clinton made the choice to bring China into the World Trade Organization, that has not benefited us as much. Well, it has benefited some people, right? The economy and people pockets. But look around at our nation. We're struggling. I'll see y'all on the other side. Give me a call, 855-839-1210. You're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. See ya.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
That is what I think of when I saw Mark Zuckerberg walking around with his curly hair, black t-shirt, gold chain. I was looking for a gold tooth, and all I could hear every time I saw him was, I'm your private dancer. I'm dancing for money. I know I can't say, but I do whatever it is you want me to do. You set the tune, I will dance, right? But it's not just Mark Zuckerberg. It's a lot of people, right on down to the GOP, right? No one is unscathed. I don't care if you're a Democrat, whatever. And I'm watching it with our young children as well. And it just makes me so sad. I'm sure you guys are seeing all of this foolishness that's going on social media. People who are in positions of great wealth and authority getting undone because they're undisciplined. And something has to change. And I'm watching our children, all of the stabbings throughout the nation right now. I mean, everyone is just acting buck wild. It's just chasing money, chasing influence, chasing clicks. And we're acting like none of this has any ramifications. I'm just doing it. But if you times a million people are doing it, and it begins to impact the culture in which you're living in. What do I mean by culture? By culture, I simply mean, you know, a set of the pervasive, the dominant ideas, the dominant beliefs, the dominant value system. And if the value system is all about money, 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 then that becomes the value system. It's not about love. It's not about we've all been endowed with from our creator with certain unalienable rights, meaning life, liberty, and the pursuit of what makes you happy, and that we should not infringe upon it. No, the dominant value suddenly becomes, hey, by any means necessary. if I could by hook or by crook, I'm going to get what I need. And if you're in my way, I'm going to just roll right over you. This is becoming, and with that value system comes a lot of degenerate behaviors. Why do I care? Because I have to live in that culture. I have to fight against that culture. I have to raise my babies in that culture. I have to try to make a living in that culture. And so it matters. Right before I put down the newspaper, let me just say another one of China's tactics, because again, they are dragging their feet to the negotiating tables. And it appears at times that there's a lot of people in the media who are siding with China, right? China, horrible. The Communist Party of China is just a bully, and they're dominant and they're aggressive, and they don't have the same value system as we do in America. We're not the same. We're not all the same. The Communist Party of China and the rest of and what I would like to get back to the dominant value system in America. And let me just say real quick, let me qualify, because when I traveled across Pennsylvania, I saw that dominant value system in America is all the things I mentioned. Love, freedom, rule of law. We just want to raise our children. We want to work. We want to get a good. We want to be compensated fairly for our work. We want to be able to build a family for ourselves and be able to retire one day. I saw that. That is dominant among the people here all across Pennsylvania. And then I jumped onto, I was the first person Vivek Ramaswamy brought onto his presidential campaign team. So now I'm traveling the nation. And again, when you walk into these rooms with the people, that is the case. We want freedom. We want to be left alone. we want you to mind your business. I mind my business. We come together for the good times, and then we go to our separate places and spaces, right? We don't want you coming over trying to tell me how I need to live. I don't want you coming over here trying to shove your ideas and your values down my throat. Don't try to force me to do something I don't want to do. Don't be over here telling my children that they can be a monkey if they want to be, that they can be a cat. My daughter can be a boy. Don't come over here trying to bring that debauchery over here, that depravity, that depraved way of thinking that a boy should be able to shower with my 16-year-old daughter. Don't come over here telling me that kind of foolishness, right? And then trying to mandate it, right? Don't do that. That's most Americans all across this nation. It's 80-20 easily. It's not 50-50. We're not as divided as some. Now, there is a division, but the division is really not among the people, but among those who have their hands on the political system, those who are controlling the systems, whether it's politics, whether it's banking, whether it's media, whether it's corporation. Those people, it may be a 50-50. It may be a deep divide, right? And they are very powerful, very dominant, very loud. But the people, we just want to be left alone. We just want to mind our own business and do our own thing, right? And so anyway, going back to this newspaper, and then I'm going to put it down. One of the tactics, another tactic that China is using is what they're calling the charm offensive. We're going to be charming. We're going to be nice. And so Xi Jinping has been traveling all across Southeast Asia on his Asia tour last week, visiting Vietnam, Malaysia, Cambodia, as he seeks to promote China as a stable trading partner. And he's really calling for stronger ties with Vietnam. Why? Because if you're looking at the trade deficit, Vietnam is one of what we call the dirty 15, those top 15 nations who have just been sticking it to America, right? With these high tariffs, while they get low tariffs to come into our country, these non-tariff barriers, like you don't have access to remedy any wrongs in that particular nation's court system, the currency manipulation, subsidies for their industry, cheap labor. So these are the top dirty, the dirty 15 is what they call them. And Vietnam is one of them. Actually, it's the fourth largest trade deficit that we have, the country with the fourth largest trade deficit. You have China, Mexico, Switzerland, that no one ever really talks about. Vietnam, Canada, Germany, Taiwan, Ireland, Japan, South Korea, Italy, India, Thailand, and then Malaysia is 16, 17. And so again, so as you see Xi Jinping traveling across Southeast Asia, going to places like Vietnam and Malaysia, Cambodia, there is a reason. Cambodia also in the top 25, I think. So there is a reason. And the only thing I have to think to myself is no one, I mean, who would be simple minded enough, like Simple Simon, to fall for China's charm offensive. Get it ready. Get my little money. Who would be simple-minded enough to fall for a charm offensive? No, it's not about a charm offensive. It's about what? Oh, come on, Kirk. Money. It's about the money, people. That is what it's about. It's all about the money. And it's not something that just impacts Americans, but it's around the world. And so we will see people would think that they can outsmart China or that they can do something that, you know, well, let me just get mine. And then I get out of this relationship with China before it hurts me. But look at America. We're literally about 3 years out. Apparently, China is also using against us their rare earth minerals. Do you know we get about 90% of our rare earths from China? And this is, I mean, like, this controls everything. It impacts our military and defense. You know, those jet fighters, missiles, the drones, the AI, the electric vehicles, the wind turbines, the medical devices, the robots, the clean energy, all of that. The key ingredients come from China, and guess what? China is using that against us as well, shutting down all of those exports. So it has not really benefited us, I think, in the long term, working with China, thinking we are smarter and we're going to get them. Okay, you're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show on the number one talk radio station. Here's the number one more time. Oh, I don't have it in front of me. It's 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, and I see y'all on the other side.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Show me the money! That is the mindset. And trust and believe, don't go out here saying, Kathy, hate money. No, Kathy does not hate money. I want more money. Yes, I will. I say to the Lord all the time, I know you see people with a lot of money and they lose their mind. They don't, you know, the money has ruined them. I'm like, Lord, please bless me with that problem. Bless me with the problem of having too much money. I will show y'all exactly how to live well, and those around me will live well as well. And so anyway, let's pivot, because right now, Republicans are in what I consider a very uncomfortable position for Republicans. And that position is, you now have to legislate. Yeah, I don't think that is a comfortable position for the Republican Party as a whole. Not everyone, obviously. I'm generalizing here because I don't know every single person. But looking at our party as a whole, I think we like being in a position where we're the underdog, where we say, you elect me in and I'm going to da 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 da. And then we get to raise more money. We don't really have the responsibility of legislating, the burden of making decisions. We just get to come on Fox News, beat our chest, feign indignancy, and yet do absolutely nothing, right? We saw that with COVID, with the forced jab, the forcing of shutting down the schools, forcing people to shut down their businesses, the open borders. We did nothing when 20 million illegals came in. We did nothing except for go on Fox News and say, this is an outrage. How can this illegal do this and that and the other, right? Okay, so now we control the House, we control the Senate, we control the White House. And so right now, in the month of May, we are in a very uncomfortable position as Republicans. We're actually going to have to legislate or not. You have two choices. Or not. You can either legislate or not. You can kick the can down the road. You can come up with some kind of ridiculous notion to say why you're not going to agree. But let me tell you, the month of May is going to be so very critical. A very key vote is going to come around the mid of May. I'm looking at probably May 21st is when we will be, the Republican Party will do or die on that stake. I think it's going to be very, it's going to really harm us if we don't actually come together and make a decision. And that decision would be around Donald Trump's tax cuts, the Tax Cuts, Job Act, reconciliation, via the reconciliation bill, via reconciliation, be able because his tax cuts are going to expire at the end of the year. There are going to be some who are going to try to convince us that the wise thing to do is to kick the can down the road and come back and pick it up later on in the year. No. Do or die right here in the month of May. That is it. History tells us what happens, right? And so we're in a very uncomfortable position. Republicans are going to have to legislate. We are going to have to hold their feet to the fire. I don't know if they're going to have the backbone or the spine or the spirit to do what Newt Gingrich did. I still remember him as a young girl. I could see him running down the stairs saying, we did it, we did it, the contract with America. I don't know if we still have that spirit is still alive within the Republican Party, but we're certainly going to find out mid-May, and then we'll know how the rest of the this year, next year, the midterm, and the 2028 presidential election, we have a really good idea of what's going to happen based on what happens in mid-May of this year, whether or not they will have the testosterone that's necessary to get up and do their job and to vote for many of the things that we've been talking about. The pass-through tax credit, that is going to be huge. The 20% pass-through tax credits to small businesses. Small businesses make up about 32. There are about 32 million small businesses in America. They employ about 60 million Americans. That represents about 45% of the GDP. So this is very important to our small businesses. We only usually hear about the S&P 500 C corporations. But now this is going to be very important to the middle class, to the lower upper class parts of America. We're going to be talking about that no tax on tips, the no tax on overtime. All of these things are coming up. No tax on Social Security benefits, although that's going to be somewhat of a tightrope. And then right here locally, we're talking about state and local tax deduction cap, removing it or increasing it. The acronym for that is SALT tax. I'm sure some of you have heard about that. So that's where we are, because here's the reality. Democrats have nothing to offer us. They have nothing to offer us. Tesla, Molotov, cocktails being thrown. Who wants that? The hands off. Yes, they got a lot of people involved in that. But this is what Democrats have to offer us. They're all flying down to El Salvador to fight the good fight for an MS-13 alleged. But it's not just alleged. He's been deemed as such, right? But they're confusing, muddying the water. No. CCC, no. We don't do that, right? Like, it's like being a little pregnant or not. You can't. It's one or the other. Either he did all of these things and the court have found him suspect of these things or not. We don't want someone who could be a little bit of a MS-13, but maybe not. We don't know for sure. 100%. It's like 99% sure, but it's that other 1%. No, but you have Democrats flying down to El Salvador. We're going to stay here until we get him back. How arrogant that we as Americans think we can fly down to El Salvador and say, we're not leaving. We demand proof of life every single day. I mean, just so stupid. We have real problems. Fentanyl. The open border is still a crisis. The after effect of the open border with the illegals all around. We have so many real problems. We got stabbings every other day in our schools. We have, wars, rumors of wars all over the place right now, all around the world right now. Now we have India and Pakistan. That is just kind of blew up overnight. We have real problems, but I have to ask myself, is it working? What Democrats are doing, is it working? And so I started looking up last night. Is it paying off? Because I'm a firm believer, People only sell what we are willing to buy. So Democrats are selling all of this chaos, mayhem, foolishness, ridiculousness, but they're selling it because I'm assuming somebody's buying it, right? And so I was looking just to kind of see, you know, you take these polls at with a grain of salt, but I was looking and there's no direct polling data on the impact of Tesla protests specifically, but they have all of this stuff that they're doing have generated a lot of media attention, mainstream media as well as social media, and they are mobilizing their base. They're keeping their base ready. Any minute, somebody, they're banking somebody in the Trump administration going to do something stupid that turns off the whole, that will turn off a large number of people. And we got to have our base ready, mobilized, and active. And so all of these things are keeping their base active. The judicial interventions right now, polling suggests judicial interventions resonate with some Americans, particularly on due process grounds. Right. So Democrats have been making the case. I've been looking at a number of social media posting by some Democrats. The Trump regime is now arresting judges. Senator Amy Klobuchar, this is not normal. The administration is arresting sitting judges. Here's another retweet from Kamala Harris. If you stand with Judge Hanna Dugan, then retweet this. So Democrats' new campaign now. So you have the Tesla Molotov. You have the hands off. You have let us all fly down to El Salvador. Now it's this whole judicial. Donald Trump is upending the U.S. Constitution. And that seems to be gaining some grounds. They found in this poll, 50% of Americans support returning Abrego Garcia compared to 28% who do not. With 87% of Democrats approving of it, and independents at 50% favoring the return of Abrego, and that Donald Trump is usurping the will of the courts by not doing what he needs to do to bring Abrego, the MS-13 gang member, back to America from El Salvador. So framing the upholding of the rule of law seems to be getting some traction. The only, here it is, the moderate independent groups, again, 50% suggest the case has galvanized Democrats and some swing supporters. And let me tell you why that matters, because I'm looking at a polling that I got the day after, a couple of days after 2024 November election, and every single category of people moved towards Donald Trump. 18 to 29 moved significantly towards Donald Trump. 30 to 44 moved towards Donald Trump. 45 to 64 moved towards Donald Trump. No college degree, they were for Donald Trump. College degree, they moved for Donald Trump. White people moved for Donald Trump. Black people moved for Donald Trump. Hispanics moved for Donald Trump. Urban, suburban, rural, men, 18 to 44, women, 18 to 44, men, 45, suburban men, suburban women, everyone moved towards Donald Trump in that election. You know who the only group who did not move towards Donald Trump? The only group who did not move towards Donald Trump. You see them at all of these rallies. They all got extra gray hair. Yeah, it's the 65 and over. Only the 65 and over did not move toward Donald Trump. They're the only group of people, of humans in America who can vote, who moved more towards Kamala Harris. Everybody else moved towards Donald Trump. Every black, white, Hispanic, old, young, mid, suburban, rural, doesn't matter, college degree, no college degree, everybody, not everyone, but everybody moved towards Donald Trump, except for boomers and the silent generation. Everyone 65 and over. And if you look at these rallies, that's all you see, a bunch of gray-haired people. There's no fool like an old fool. There's no fool like an old fool, my grandmama used to say. Yeah, So we need to be very careful. So when you see other polling saying that independents and some young people are beginning to shift away from Donald Trump, that matters because he didn't win this election without them. I see y'all on the other side.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
I love our country. This is the greatest country that has ever existed. We have done more good than any other country has done. And but we have some problems and we need to look at those problems right on. So I'm looking at YouTube and I see somebody, Earth, you said, Kathy, I am a boomer. Earth said, I moved over the fence to the Republicans for Trump's first term and have been ever since. That is awesome. Obviously, you have to generalize, right? I'm not talking about every single boomer is an old fool that you can't teach new tricks to. That there's not, I mean, tell you, I remember my grandmother saying, there's no fool like an old fool. And I don't really use that word fool much because I think it's a, you know, a bad word. But there is such a thing as a biblical definition of a fool. And so, yeah, you have all of these old heads. Y'all need to talk to them. So, Earth, you need to talk to your fellow boomers. Yeah, y'all need to sit down and talk to them. And, I don't advocate slapping some sense in people, like physically slapping, but you get the point. You need to really, and I don't advocate literally shaking some sense in people, but you get the point. Yes. Yeah. You know, I mean, yes, Susie, you never know how these questions are actually asked, but they're being asked. We just need to pay attention. And let me just kind of close out with, you know, Pennsylvania had, again, another telltale sign, these mail-in ballot breakdowns. For Pennsylvania had a special senatorial state Senate election in Lancaster County. And what did we find from that was that a lot of votes that this was a plus 20. This was a, I thought I had more time. This was a plus 20 Republican district. An R plus 20 Republican district. It's been an R plus Republican district for a year, decades even. A Democrat came in less than 6 months after Donald Trump winning and beat out a Republican. Now, how did that happen? It wasn't all about the Democrats. There's a shift that is taking place among low information voters who were independents as well as low information Republicans, and you know, low information, you can kind of, you know, surmise from, you know, the frequency in which someone vote. We track all of that. And so when you have people running around here, registering brand new people to vote just because they have an R next to their name does not necessarily mean that person is going to vote Republican. Now you have registered someone who's going to get a mail-in ballot, and now they're low information, and they're going to send that ballot back in for the Democrat. That's exactly what happened here in Lancaster County. It actually worked against us. So those running around, oh, the whole strategy is just to register new people. No, it has to be a combination of education. The Republican Party needs to do a much better job on defining, on getting our message out there, on getting likable people in front of our people, in front of our base. We just need to do a much better job. And if we don't, we're going to lose. Okay, y'all, I got to get out of here. But it's been so good listening, sitting here, talking to y'all, watching you out here on YouTube. Guys, be safe. Love your family. Talk to you next time. Blessings.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.